For those who have not been with us, we've been for several weeks just looking at some material, studying about the need of being involved in personal evangelism. We've looked at different aspects of this, just some things that we can learn from the gospel, some things that we learned from Jesus, who was the master teacher, as we have said. In our last lesson in John chapter 4, we spent a good deal of time just looking at the text and what we could learn from Jesus teaching the woman at the well. And there was just so many good points that we could make from that. Shifting gears a little bit today, and we're talking about us. We're talking about what our attitude needs to be with regard, not just with regard to teaching, but our attitude in teaching. Because that's going to make a big difference in any success that we hope to find. I mean, how we approach someone who may be a potential Bible student and how we act during a Bible study can have a great effect on what success we may or may not have. So the purpose of this lesson is to talk about attitude, our attitude when it comes to teaching and how we go about the process of teaching. Obviously, our attitude has to be consistent with one professing godliness. And when you think about this a little bit, here we are going to someone hoping for an opportunity to study Scripture with them. I mean, what else can we demonstrate to them but an attitude of godliness? I mean, if we fail to do that, why or how would we encourage them to study anything from Scripture? How would we encourage them to become Christ-like if we don't demonstrate that ourselves? So this lesson is about our attitude. Now, if you're still needing lesson 7, put your hand up. Neil's got some more copies here, and he's going to finish distributing those. We still need some up here too, Neil. Thank you for doing that. So while we have to have a good attitude in trying to approach people, you know, to try to encourage them to study the Bible, as well, we've got to talk some about our attitude during the Bible study. I think that becomes a problem sometimes too. And so we'll kind of look at some of these things as we go through. If you look here at the third paragraph down, we ask a question. From what does the Christian attitude come? Paul said it very simply in this. This is from Philippians chapter 2. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." That's a good rendering of the passage, but the NIV is helpful here too. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Attitude. It's all about attitude here. And the attitude that we need to have is one that is Christ-like. That's what we need to do. In fact, I want us to look at this passage in a little more detail. We've been there before, I know. But I want us to look at this again. Philippians chapter 2, and maybe have some discussion about the attitude that we see in Christ. Philippians chapter 2. And we begin at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now, our challenge here is to look at and talk about some of the character traits of Jesus that we see here. What stands out to us in the text? We've been here before. This is not a hard deal. What do we see here are some of the character traits of Jesus that just stands out to us here? What would you say? Humility. I mean, humility is written all over the passage because humility was all over Jesus. That's who he was. What else? A servant. He was a willing servant. Yeah. He wasn't thinking about himself. Had he been thinking about himself, what might he have done? He stayed in heaven. He was in heaven. What else might you say? Obedient. Important point here. Jesus was obedient, and the Hebrew writer would say that he learned obedience. That's always kind of amazed me some. As if Jesus did not understand what obedience was. I think maybe the idea was he demonstrated Obedience to the Father. Yeah, other thoughts? So what does this mean to us? I mean, as we make some application here, what does it mean to let this mind be in you? What do you think about that? We ready to sign up for that? That we are going to model Christ? Yeah, we better be. If we are going to be the people of God, if we are going to be the children of God, we have to be like His only begotten. And so when we see here the character, when we see the attitude of Christ, it's what we have to be and what we have to have in our life too. We have to follow that example. Wow. I mean, that's all I can think here. I mean, how do we do this? Well, we seek within us to find humility, servitude, obedience. All of these traits that have been demonstrated by Christ. That's who we are. And those are traits that have to be demonstrated by us. If we have those traits in us, how do you think the world will perceive us? What do you think? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would hope that they would see that we are different than the world. Maybe that in itself becomes even a drawing card, so to speak. It strikes some interest in people who are looking for something different. To see someone who is Christ-like in attitude. And hopefully that's of interest. I mean, it's only beneficial if it's real. If that's truly who we are. Because if we just kind of put that on and as a facade, people see through that pretty quick. And God sees through that. So it has to be real.
Sometimes we, in our day-to-day lives, we meet a family of people, brothers and sisters or something like that, and you can recognize very quickly when you meet one of the children, oh, this must be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you're going to go ahead and accept because you would accept that family.
Yeah.
On others, you meet them and you say, oh, I know what family is.
Yeah. Right. That can work both ways, can't it? Yeah.
So if we're going to be recognized as part of that family of Christ.
Yeah. That's right.
So that people would say, you know, I think I know what they
do. That's right. Good point. That's a beautiful analogy. I mean, right on. I mean, back to what the apostle said here. Let this mind be in you. I mean, we're talking about something that's deep within us. It's who we are. I mean, if Jesus was somehow a fake in this, if the humility was just a show, you know, and it was just the servitude, it was just kind of there to let people see some things. If that wasn't real, would he have been obedient all the way to the cross? No. No, there'd be some point where he was, oh, well, wait a minute now, this has gone far enough. Sometimes, I'm afraid we get kind of caught up in that. You know, where it's just not, this mind is not in us, as Paul said. I mean, it's not all the way there, you know, where it's real. And it has to be real. We have to be real. Jesus was. And people saw that in Jesus. I mean, the consistency of Jesus was absolute. I mean, never was there anything that he said or that he did that people could say, ha, 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 I knew you weren't as good as you said or as good as you thought you were, you know. No, it was real all the way to the cross. And we have to be that way too. Because if we're going to try to encourage our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers and people we just come in contact with, if we're going to try to encourage them in some way to study the Bible, and we're going to try to have some effect on them, like, hey, would you want to get together and just have a Bible study? If they see inconsistencies in us, we think we're going to be successful in drawing someone who is serious about trying to learn about God. If we have demonstrated something less than a genuine attitude of godliness, we think we're going to be successful. Come on now. We know better than that. Okay. Yeah. That's right. The attitude that is found among brethren is talking about consider one another better than self. You know, we've all seen this. A church that's just in disarray, a church that's just in turmoil, brethren that can't get along. Let me tell you something. I have learned that you have little or no success going into the community and trying to encourage people to study the Bible, have a Bible study, if all they know about the church is that they can't get along among themselves. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So, attitude. This is all about attitude. And about our attitude. Here again, it's easy. Yeah, well, he's got a bad attitude. Or he's got a bad attitude. No. Let's get real. We're talking about ourselves here. If we want to be effective in our service in the kingdom and effective in trying to encourage others to study the Bible with us, then we need to be of the right mind and we need to be of the right attitude. Other thoughts? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, not one of us will be perfect in and of ourselves. We won't be perfect. If there's anything perfect to be found in us, it's through Christ. But of ourselves, we are not perfect, and there are changes that we need to make. This is a good point. You think about the apostles and where they came from to where they were when we last read about them, some of them, and the changes that was made in their lives, changes of attitude even. Wow, it's interesting to look at that. I've said before, it's Peter who gives me the most hope sometimes. When I look at his impetuousness, and I read about the times he said things where I'm sure later he just kicked himself and said, why did I say that? I know that feeling. I know it too well. But what gives me hope with Peter is that when you read 1 and 2 Peter, you know, perhaps the last writings before his life came to an end, we're reading about a different man, a man who had matured in faith, and one who was more focused than ever before on what was available and how the blessings that come through Christ and trying to encourage others to see that too. And so if there's, you know, people can change in good ways, and we see that with Peter. And he, as I said, gives me hope. Let's look on here the next point. We go a little farther down the page. It says, humility and servitude and compassion, seeking the best for others. These are all qualities that we're talking about today. These are qualities that are so evident in the life of Jesus and have to be evident in our life as well. We need to learn from His example and let His heart grow in us. For this to happen, we have to put off the attitude and conduct of the world. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're in about the middle of the passage here, about the middle of the chapter. The apostle is writing to those who are Christians, and he makes just a very interesting comparison here to me in these verses. And he's reminding these Christians perhaps of where they have come from, or at least attitudes that they have displayed, and he's more or less saying, now don't be like this. or as they are looking out in the world, and he's trying to make this point. Look at what they're doing. Don't be like this. He says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Wow. Kind of got to the point on that one, didn't he? And he's saying, look, don't be like them. You know, and in fact, I get the impression here that this is where they came from, because he says, you know, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. They were doing some of these same things, it would seem. Even if they were Jews, they were still acting as the way these Gentiles were acting. And he's saying, no, don't do that. You can't do that. That's not who you are. And the darkness of the attitude that is displayed by those who are walking this way. Did you catch that? You know, walking in the futility of their mind. What is that? I mean, what does that mean, the futility of their mind? It leads nowhere. I mean, the way that they were going, it was vain. It was empty. There was no real good substance to it. It didn't go anywhere. You know, don't walk like that. Well, what was the problem? Having their understanding darkened. It's like they couldn't see truth. Why? Why couldn't they see truth? It tells us right there. What was their problem? What was wrong? Yeah. Here was the issue. It was a heart problem. You know, the bottom line was alienated from the life of God. That should be a scary thought. That we would be alienated from the life of God, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Attitude. Absolutely. Absolutely. And not just death physically, but death eternal is what it describes. They were past feeling, like their conscience didn't affect them or bother them anymore. Given over then to licentiousness and all uncleanness with greediness. Well, of course, if we are not walking with the Lord, if we are not concerned about spiritual things, if we are not concerned about the attitude that God would want us to have, where else are we going to walk? Best I can tell throughout Scripture, maybe I put things in too simple of terms, but I've told you before, I'm simple-minded. It's the only way I can get it. You know, we walk in light or we walk in dark. There's no gray. I mean, never do I see anything gray in the Scripture. There's light and there's dark. There is walking in the futility of your mind. There's walking in darkness. There is walking in a way that's separated from God, or there is walking with God. No in the middle. There's no fence line in the middle that you stand on. It's one or the other. And so that's kind of, I think, what the apostle is saying here. Look, no longer can you walk this way. Like these who are walking in the futility of the mind. Like these who have just lost sight completely of what righteousness would be. But then what he says in verse 20 is interesting. But you have not so learned Christ. Remember again, he's speaking to those who are Christians. But you have not so learned Christ. What does that mean? What's the point there? Right, right. I mean, what you have learned from Christ is completely different than the way they are walking. And the next verse kind of defines this a little bit more when he says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him, you have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." If we are going to be different than those who are walking in the futility of their mind, then we have to learn from Jesus. That's the only way we can change. That's the only way we can walk in light. That's the only way we can be different from the world, is that we learn from Jesus. That's what he's telling them. And it seems that these are the ones who have made that change. Because he's speaking in past tense, but you have not so learned Christ. You know, here's what you've learned, you know. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him and the truth as is in him, and what does that require? Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. What do we learn from that? What's the application here? How does this apply to teaching anybody? What's the point? You tell me. What's the application?
Contrast between the old frame of mind that we had before we became a Christian and what the new frame of mind should be now that we are Christians. Mm-hmm.
Have you known those who have become Christians, but there just was not a change in their life? I mean, they still had the same friends. They went to the same places, did the same things before they were buried in Christ with baptism. Have you seen that happen? Probably most of us have. What's been the result in time? Almost always, it's an absolute return to the darkness that they said they were going to come out of, but they didn't. There was not the change. They did not put on the mind of Christ in every way. We've seen that, haven't we? Most of us have. Okay? What's other application we have to make to this? What does this mean to us? What does this mean, or what effect does all this have with our opportunities to teach?
Well, we have to teach from the light side. We have to find the light ourselves so we can't guide anybody. I'm reminded when I first moved up to the mountains here, there was no lights around. We didn't have anything more than a porch light.
Yeah.
But if you had to go next door, I did when I was a kid, I was living across the street. If you had that dark, you were totally in the dark, and you were very quickly lost, even though you knew it was just a few hundred feet this way and a few hundred feet that way. After you got out there, you were totally in the dark if you didn't have the light.
Yeah, that's right.
And just like that with Christians, the world is very dark. And you're not going to find your way to your destination unless you carry an ally with you.
And so, if you're trying to get to your neighbor's house in the dark and you don't hardly know the way and it's dark and someone's walking with you, now there are two that are lost, not just one. Unless we are in the light. Be lost that way. That's a good analogy. You know, maybe some just haven't thought it through real well, but I don't know how it is that we think that we would have an effect on those who are in the dark if we're standing there with them. Well, we might have an effect, but it's only an effect for darkness. It's not an effect to bring anybody to the light. If we are going to try to pull people from sin and from darkness and separation from God, then we are the ones who are going to have to be standing in the light. It's not so hard to figure out, is it? But what is interesting is sometimes you see those who can kind of talk pretty big, talk a good game, but their life is just not all that it needs to be. And we think somehow that people don't see that. We've got to be real. We've got to be convicted. We have got to be converted before we're going to have any kind of effect for good with anybody else. That seem right? Other thoughts?
Sometimes when you are walking in the light and there is the contrast, and the people who are walking in darkness may not appreciate you. Mm-hmm. They feel like that you're being judgmental just because you're living a Christian life. I know there's been a couple times in Lane's work where she had to take a stand for something that was right. Mm-hmm. And she got some flack for it. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. Isn't that something? Yeah. Because there was something different about her life. Interesting. Good thought. Let's look on here a little bit more, the next point. We're reverting in our thoughts here just a little bit. We're thinking back to the last lesson in John chapter 4, where we talked a lot just about the character of Jesus again, and His ability, His success to teach. Even those who seemed just to be unlikely candidates, as the Samaritan woman at the well would have been that. And yet, by the end of the story, so to speak, she is going back in the town and telling everyone she knows about this one, that saying, could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? And many believed because of what she said. And then many went and listened to Jesus and believed on His own testimony. Well, the focus of what we're looking at there, I want us just to be reminded of for a moment here, is what were some of the qualities of His character that enabled that teaching opportunity to develop with that Samaritan woman and then with all of the others that came? What were some of the qualities of His character that just stood out as we studied that? What would you say? What do you say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, her life was a mess. If we want to seek the lost, we're looking for those people who are in darkness, aren't we? Yeah. Right. It wasn't arrogant. Yeah. Very humble in a way. Very real. Frank, you want to make a point? Okay. Yeah.
So I was going to say he was bold enough to actually stand out and do something that the Jews wouldn't have done and actually talk.
That's right. Yeah. Most would have absolutely, of the Jews, would never have said anything to the Samaritan woman. But Jesus did. That's right. It found something they had in common. They both were there for water. Started the conversation. And then made statements and asked questions that kind of led the conversation into a spiritual conversation. She never knew what happened. You know, and the next thing you knew, they were talking about spiritual things. Very patient. Step by step. You know, was not condescending, was not arrogant, was humble himself. Well, of course he was. Jesus always was humble in that way. You know, just some of these character traits that are just outstanding. That again, if let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. That's where we started, remember. And so if we want to have success in teaching, you know, we have to have that attitude that Jesus demonstrated time and again. Good thoughts. Well, for the rest of the lesson, I want us to kind of maybe look at the dark side a little bit. We've been talking here about what we need to be and what Jesus has demonstrated to us. Well, for a few minutes, let's talk about some deterrents to effective teaching. There are absolutely, we would all agree, there are some attitudes that can just ruin a serious study of the Bible or serious Bible discussion. And we have to avoid that. We have to make those attitudes just not a part of who we are. You know, it's with sincerity and honesty that right now we are looking at ourselves. We have to be honest and look at ourselves and just see what we display. What is our character? And when we try to have a conversation with somebody about Scripture, what do they see in us as far as attitude goes? That's going to make a difference. You know, because if people see in us an unfriendly attitude, if they see character traits that are less than pure, inconsistent, I mean, we're not going to go very far with any opportunities, you know. It's not just a matter of how we perceive ourselves, okay? I mean, we already said, let's look at ourselves, okay? But what we really have to think about, how do others look at us? And how do others perceive us? Because that's what's really going to matter here. We'll make some points. Bottom of the page. Never appear as a know-it-all. Well, pretty simple kind of point here. But I think I've seen times where this has really been a problem. Where some have lost effectiveness in teaching just in the way they came across. And when somebody asks a question in a Bible study or makes a statement or even says to us, no, I think you're wrong about that. And then our response is less than kind or humble. I've seen studies just kind of crumble and come to an end. And it had more to do with the attitude of the teacher at that point than anything else. And one example I thought of in a positive way comes from Acts chapter 18. We studied this passage a while back. Acts chapter 18. You remember that preacher named Apollos? Here is one who had great abilities. The text would say of Apollos in verse 24 that he was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus preaching. And he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He had a great fervent spirit. He spoke and he taught accurately all the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. There were some things he didn't know. I mean, here we're talking about someone who was educated, someone who was from Alexandria, someone who had learned to express himself in words very well. And yet he didn't know all that he needed to know. And as the story goes on, we know it was a man and a woman who took him to the side and taught him the way of the Lord more accurately. I mean, this story could have played out so differently. The attitude of Apollos, had it been not Christ-like, he could have easily said, well, just who do you think you are? Do you not realize to whom you're speaking? Do you realize I'm from Alexandria? I have attended the best schools available. Have you not heard me speak? You know, and you're tent makers, I understand. Do you not understand my background and where I'm from and my abilities? Have I not impressed you enough at this point? But remember, as we studied through that, that wasn't his attitude at all. But he listened to what Aquila and Priscilla had to say to him as they explained to him the way of the Lord more accurately. And what's so interesting and amazing with this is that he desired to cross over to Acacia so he could keep teaching. And the disciples And the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. He had made such an impression on them, his attitude, his faithfulness, his ability to teach, that the brethren encouraged these disciples over there, listen to this man when he comes to you. And he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing by scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. All I'm saying with this is, here's an example of a man who was a humble servant. One even, though he was so well schooled, did not have all of the answers. And when a humble Christian couple came to him and said, Apollos, there's something we need to talk with you about, he gladly accepted that. Attitude. Attitude makes a tremendous difference in what success we may or may not have teaching others. That's right, the private teaching that took place. Absolutely. Absolutely. So many opportunities in different ways. Liz? Yeah. Their attitude in teaching. Right. Right. The attitude of Apollos is outstanding, but the attitude of Aquila and Priscilla, outstanding in both cases. Good comments today. Appreciate so much your comments. Lord willing, Wednesday night we're going to continue on this and work, finish page 13 and go on to page 14. If you'd have that done, we will have good discussion once again. For those who can, if you're comfortable doing so, let's move on up some here this morning. Thank you.